For a second time, the U.S. Supreme Court has refused Republican efforts to block a 3-day extension to count absentee ballots in Pennsylvania. The court made a similar decision for North Carolina, extending the deadline to 9 days after Election Day. The justices did signal they could revisit the Pennsylvania case after the election.
And Pennsylvania is a critical state for both President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. Polling averages show Biden leading by roughly 4 to 6 percentage points. For the latest on what's happening there, let's bring in Jonathan Lai, data and democracy reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan, what does this SCOTUS ruling mean for voters, especially since Justice Alito has said it could be reopened at another time?
That's right. I mean, the reality is, you know, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court gave us a 3-day deadline to get our mail ballots in, but we don't know whether that's going to stand. So right now, yes, you know, people can rely on that extension. They can get those votes in after Election Day, but we don't know whether or not those will actually end up being thrown out. The Supreme Court could rule after Election Day.
This is hugely consequential.
It really is. I mean, we just don't know how many voters, you know, they'll mail their ballots in maybe Monday or even Tuesday on Election Day, and those ballots won't come in until maybe Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. And if the court goes one way, those votes will get counted. If the court goes another, they'll be thrown out.
What are county election officials being advised to do because of this?
So you don't want to start counting those votes and mixing them in with all the rest, because then there's no way to deal with them later. So what all the counties are being told right now to separate any ballots that come in after Election Day, so that whatever the court decides to do, whether to count them or to reject them, they'll be able to deal with them and not be mixed in with all the rest.
This is the first year in Pennsylvania that any registered voters can vote by mail. And this Tuesday was the deadline for people to apply for an absentee ballot. And we saw these huge lines of people waiting for these ballots. How much can you tell us about the demand, and can you break down how this system works?
So before this year, we actually had a really restrictive absentee voting system. Very few people could vote by mail. And so actually in past elections, only about 5% of votes were ever cast by mail. This year, especially with the pandemic and with a new law that allows anybody to vote by mail, we've had huge demand. In the primary election, for example, just over half the votes were cast by mail. So we went from 5% to 50% in a single election. And so what we're seeing in this particular election now is a lot of people are trying to vote by mail. We might have as many as 3 million votes cast by mail.
You actually worked with ProPublica recently to examine data on what communities were registering for mail-in voting, and found that lower-income communities were less likely to register in Philadelphia, which also happens to be one of America's poorest cities. What exactly is happening and why?
That's right. I mean, Philly is the poorest big city in America. And so with something like vote by mail, what you see is it's really becoming something that is more accessible, more convenient, more flexible, but it's not necessarily helping poor and low-income Philadelphians. So what we see, for example, is that when you look at who's requesting to vote by mail in this election, we looked last week, and in the 10 highest income zip codes, the richest Philadelphians, nearly half of them, 47%, were requesting to vote by mail. But in the poorest 10 zip codes in Philadelphia, only 27% were trying to vote by mail. So there's a big gap between who's actually interested or has access or is willing to vote by mail.
I want to ask you about something else. So earlier this month, the Trump campaign filmed voters dropping off their ballots in a supposed attempt to count how many ballots people were dropping off. Some of these tactics themselves have been called voter intimidation. What are you seeing on the ground, and what do voters need to know?
So it's a little bit hard to say exactly what's happening. You know, there's a lot of noise out there, a lot of campaigns or people affiliated with them doing a lot of different things. Here's the key that every voter needs to know. Voter intimidation, in whatever form, is illegal. And there's not some magic switch that says something is voter intimidation or it's not, right? If it were that simple, we wouldn't need courts. We wouldn't need the justice system. But it is true. Voter intimidation is illegal, and if somebody feels like somebody is trying to intimidate them, trying to coerce their vote, trying to deter them from voting, trying to force them to vote in a specific way or to not vote, they should go and talk to law enforcement. They should talk to their county, their state, even federal law enforcement officials, and let them know that they believe somebody is interfering with their voting rights.
What can we expect in terms of results that night, especially in light of this new Supreme Court ruling?
Well, we can certainly expect it to be a lot messier than what we've seen in the past. You know, I think a lot of us are used to sort of staying up on election day. You get the big banners on the TV screens and they tell you who won. You're not allowed in Pennsylvania to start opening and counting these mail-in ballots until 7 a.m. on election day. And remember how I said there are going to be 3 million of them? That takes a long time to count. It's not going to be done by election night.
That's Jonathan Lai, data and democracy reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.